Thank you, Carol. Beautiful song. And praise the Lord, He does care. He does care. No question about that. Luke 11, verse 1, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. I want to talk to you this morning about the importance of prayer. Father, I pray that you will help us to understand just how important it is that we take time out and pray. Lord, it's to get answers, of course. Certainly it brings glory to you, but it helps us as well. And I pray that you will help us to pray and to learn about prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Of course, I would like everyone to attend the School of Prayer when Dr. Tom Williams is here, March 26th and 27th. I'm thrilled that he is having this. He's going to take time out of his schedule to come spend those 2 days, Friday night, of course, the meeting Friday night, and then Saturday, and talk to us about prayer. And Dr. Williams is a man of prayer. I remember one time he was preaching a revival meeting in Kokomo, Indiana. And one of the services, he told me before, he said, I'm going to make some people mad. I said, really? I said, so what else is new? But he said, no, he said, you'll see. And sure enough, the whole service, I mean, people came from miles around, and we had come all the way from Bern, Indiana. And he just said, you know, tonight, he said, we're going to pray. And he said, if you want to come to the altar, you can come to the altar. If you want to stay there in your seat, that's fine. But he said, we're going to get a hold of God. And he took the whole service and prayed. And I thought it was a great, great service. We learned some things that just about getting a hold of God. It was a blessing to our people. But as he said, some folks did get mad. Well, we came to hear preaching. But I want to show you what God says about that. And I think you'll be amazed when you see what the Scripture says about the importance of prayer. And I was thinking as Carol was singing, how much Jesus really does care. And this has been one of those weeks where I've just been awakened many mornings, early in the morning. Most of the time, most of the waking ups are praying for other people, it seems like. That's kind of the way my pattern is anyway. I have my, of course, times of prayer and that, but the wake up times usually are for someone else. I was really amazed a couple of the times, just different things that God put on my heart to pray about, and different people and different things. One morning, in fact, it was just yesterday morning, God woke me up. I don't know if it was yesterday morning or this morning. I don't know. They're all kind of going together because I've been sick most of the week too. But anyway, I woke up and I was singing a song. And I don't know what the song was. I didn't recognize the song. And as I talked to the Lord about the song, it was a song that three of our teenagers had sung to me. I was listening to them sing, and I'm not familiar enough with the song. I said, Lord, what is this song? Why this song? And it was three of our teenagers I heard them sing that, and immediately I prayed for each of them and ask the Lord to bless them and take care of them. That was about 2:30 either this morning or yesterday morning. And it's just been one of those weeks, just a lot of times like that. But I hope that you talk to God. I really do. And prayer is one part of talking to God. It is the asking part when we talk about the word pray, the actual word pray. But when I'm talking about prayer, I'm taking the general view of prayer is just talking to God, as just spending time with God. Of course, prayer is telling God how wonderful He is and talking to Him about that. Prayer is praising Him and how great He is and how wonderful He is. And prayer, of course, is thanking God for all that He does. You'd be amazed in that, just what I just now said, how it'll change your whole outlook on everything. Just those things right there. Honestly, if you'll stop, you'll tell God how wonderful He is. If you'll praise Him for how great He is, if you'll thank Him for all that He's done, you'd have a tough time staying in a bad mood. Honestly, you would. Now, that doesn't take away the sorrow that maybe you may have in your heart. That doesn't take away the conflict that may be going on. I'm just saying it will uplift your spirit. Not to mention the fact that God likes it a whole lot. Amen. And so we tell Him how wonderful He is. We tell Him how great He is. We praise Him for all that He does. And of course, we thank Him for His goodness. And, you know, as I talk to God that way, it always reminds me how great He is. And I realize how ungreat I am. Amen. And so it goes right into confession and talking to God about yourself. Talking to God about, by the way, when you just say, Lord, forgive me for all the bad things I've done, you're really not confessing anything. Amen. Confession is to tell God, I agree with you about this. This is wrong. Confession is to bring to light those individual things. You say, I don't know all the bad things. That, yes, you do. Yeah, we do know. We know what we do. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to say, forgive me for what I've done. I'm just saying, you know, when you talk to God, be honest with God. And God, today I had a bad attitude. Forgive me for that. Today I criticized my brother. God, forgive me for that. Today, and whatever it might be, talk to Him about those things you know He's not pleased about. Confess those things. And of course, then comes the asking part of prayer that is sometimes it's all we do. You know, we start right out, Lord, give me this and this and this and this and this. But it is an important thing. He says you have not because you ask not. So certainly He wants us to ask and He expects us to ask. He says, ask and it shall be given unto you. So we need to have that asking part. Part of the asking part is interceding. That means asking for other people. I just asked you a while ago, pray for Brother Kelvin. I mentioned to you, pray for my father-in-law. And what are we doing? We're interceding for them. We're talking to God on their behalf. We're talking to God about a need that they might have. We're asking God to do something for someone else. By the way, that's a crucial part of our prayer lives. In fact, Jesus, Bible says in Hebrews 7, verse 25, that He ever liveth to make intercession for us. That's what He literally lives for, is to intercede, to pray for us, to be the go-between, and to pray for us and for our needs, and to plead our cause. Of course, Moses did that for the people. Daniel did that for a whole nation. Nehemiah did that also for a nation. And certainly, as we consider prayer, as we consider talking to God, there has got to be that time where we intercede and we pray for other people. And I hope that you will do that. I have found, again, this week to be a week of much of those types of prayers being prayed, prayers of intercession and asking God to help other people. And I hope that you do that as well. Of course, the Lord Jesus, if you'll read the great chapter, John 17, Jesus is interceding and He is praying. And He prayed He is interceding, He's praying for us. And He prayed so fervently that He sweat drops of blood. That is serious prayer. You say, oh, I've got some financial needs. But remember, Jesus prayed that way when He was praying for someone else. It was that fervent and it was that that direct that He sweat drops of blood. So again, prayer is so important. We read the life of Jesus. We read about what all He did. And I think we could clearly see the importance of prayer. Other than being saved, I doing that, I think that is an important thing. I think the thing that we underestimate the value of is prayer. Probably as much as anything in the Christian life. We talk about it. We will fight for it, you know. Well, they took prayer out of the public schools and I'm mad about that and I can't believe they did that. And so many of the people that are upset about that don't pray at home. And I'm just saying that literally I think the thing that could change our lives the most and could change our church the most would be for us to pray and understand the importance. I hope that you will get excited about Dr. Williams coming and spending that time. There will be some times of prayer. I guarantee there will be long times. You will be amazed, though, as you pray the more you pray, the length really doesn't matter. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Isn't that amazing? Pray without ceasing. Just start talking to God when you wake up and just keep talking to Him all day long. I want to show you some things, though, that will prove the importance of prayer. Number one, turn to Luke chapter 5 and verse 15. Luke 5 and verse 15. Prayer is more important than teaching and healing. Luke 5 and verse 15. Prayer is more important than teaching and healing. Now, we wouldn't think that by most ministries today. We wouldn't think that by what goes on. I mean, honestly, we think certain things are very, very important, but according to what we see in Scripture, the Bible says here in verse 15, "But so much the more went there a fame abroad of Him," talking about Jesus, "and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by Him of their infirmities." So here's all these people, they came to hear and to be healed. And so immediately you would think Jesus would gather everybody together, He would get out His Bible, and He'd start teaching them. But what's He do? The Bible says He withdrew Himself into the wilderness and prayed. That is an amazing passage right there. Wait a minute, but all the people have gathered. I mean, everybody's there. They're there to hear. They're ready to listen, and they want to be healed. They want their lives to be changed. And certainly it's now, surely, Jesus is going to teach them, and He's going to change their lives. But the Bible says that He withdrew and prayed. That's an amazing, amazing truth in the Scripture. Let me ask you a question. Which, for those of you that own cars, which is more important? A lot of ladies may not know this. Which is more important, the motor or the oil? Which is more important, the motor or the fuel? Truth of the matter is, they're worthless without each other. You got to have both. And what we look at as being the biggest thing is not often the biggest thing, because it needs the other thing. Understand this. Without prayer, we have nothing to teach. Amen. Without prayer, we have no power to see any kind of healing. The Bible says in James, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." That is in the passage about God healing and anointing with oil, which we believe all of that, and we do that. But the truth of the matter is, the effectual, fervent prayer, is it the oil? I've got olive oil. I've got several little bottles of olive oil in my office. I have a little container that I use when I go to hospitals or go somewhere. And the little container of olive oil. Tell me about that olive oil. It's oil from an olive. Well, I mean, tell me, you know, what is special about it? As far as I know, being one who cannot stand olives anyway, it's probably very nasty if you were to drink it. Somebody said the other day to me, they said, "I see you have a bottle. Why don't you use that oil to cook with, you know, that's on my shelf?" Somebody here gave me that after I preached a message about being an oily Christian. And anyway, they said something. I don't even remember who it was. It might have been David Potter. Was it you, David? Was that you? Okay, I thought it might have been. And why don't you use it? And the truth of the matter is, we could. That is olive oil. It you can use it to cook with. You can use it. Preacher. You shouldn't mess with that oil. It's just oil. That's all it is. It's olive oil. When I anoint somebody with oil, I usually put the oil on a napkin or on a tissue of some kind, and I put it on their head, and I usually put enough where some of the oil might get in their hair. If they're like me, it will just slide. Amen. And I'm just saying, I usually wipe it off. Oh, wait, of course you're going to wipe it off, right? Yeah, but what about, isn't that holy? It's olive oil. It's just oil from an olive. Well, why do you use it? Well, because God said to use oil. And I figured it'd be better to use olive oil than motor oil. Amen? Well, but what about the oil? Folks, understand something. in everything we do, if God's not in it, we might as well not do it. I want to remind you what John the Baptist, you know, what God said in reference to it. Without me, you're nothing. Nothing. Zero. Okay? Without prayer, understand, who cares about this service? Amen. I mean, do we want God to do something or not? We've got this idea. Well, you know, I've got to learn how to teach the things of God and all those things are important. But hey, listen to me. If you don't walk with Him, nothing's going to happen. Without prayer, there's nothing to teach. Without prayer, there's no power to heal. There's no power for somebody's life to be changed. That's why secular counselors can't help. They don't have prayer. They might give you some good advice, but they can't help you miraculously without prayer. Amen. That's why a secular teacher, they may have some knowledge that may help you in some way, but you're not going to get a miracle from a secular teacher. You're not going to get a miracle from a prayerless Christian. Unless God just chooses to do something, we need to pray. Jesus is showing us here in the Scripture, and I love this. All these people have gathered. They all said, hey, we hear you're the greatest teacher. We want you to teach us. We want you to change our lives. We want something to happen. By the way, that's like saying sick them to a dog. You tell a preacher we want to listen. Boy, it's an amazing thing. And we want our lives to be changed. It's like, wow, let me get my outline out. Amen. And what did Jesus do? He withdrew himself and he prayed. Why? Because he wanted the power of God to do the work. Hey, you know what? We've got some very, very smart people in this church. We have some people with great, great Bible knowledge. I'm talking about folks that know their Bibles and they can teach, and they do teach. And our Sunday school teachers, I don't think anybody's any better than them in the nation. We have some great teachers. But you know, we need to understand something. It's not our alliteration, amen. It's not our cute little poem. It's not our great illustration that we give. It's God. Hey, it's God that's going to change that young person's life. It's God that's going to deliver that addict from their addiction. It's God that's going to save that soul. It's God that we need, not our teaching or our healing. Or our methodology, I guess I should say. And so, you know what? Without prayer, that big crowd, and Jesus teaches us that here. Without prayer, he wouldn't be able to help that big crowd. And so he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Amen. And notice what it says in verse 17. It came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Hey, somebody has needs, pray. Pray. You say, well, preacher, do you believe in healing? I believe what the Bible says about healing. And I believe that God, we believe we need to do exactly what God says every time. But you know what's so often left out is pray. Pray, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Don't think you're going to accomplish a lot living in your sin. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Don't be living in iniquity and not willing to make it right with God. Go to God in prayer, and I'm telling you, you can see great things happen. Prayer is more important than teaching and healing. Number two is found at Mark 1 and verse 35. And here's where most of us have a problem. In fact, all of us have this problem at times. And his disciples had this problem. Mark 1 and verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Number two, prayer is more important than rest and sleep. Oh, preacher, I knew you were going to say that. Wait a minute. When is a time that you can pray and not be disturbed? I'll tell you what, 2:30 this morning, nobody bothered me. Nobody called. Nobody knocked on the door. The neighbors didn't honk at each other. 2:30 in the morning. Nobody disturbed me. It was a time that God said, let's talk about some things. Yeah, I'm just saying, Jesus in the morning, rising up a great while before day. That's in the dark. Oh, preacher, you don't understand. I'm just saying, God's teaching us here, prayer is more important than rest and sleep. Luke 6 and verse 12. Luke 6 and verse 12. It came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Wow. I don't know if you've ever prayed all night before. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I don't think it's something to brag about. I'm just saying it is an option. You say, you don't understand. I need my rest. Look at Matthew 26, verse 40. Matthew 26 and verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Now, you have to understand, the disciples were tired. Jesus says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Does your flesh ever get in the way of your prayer time? I remember one staff member I had, he would tell me he had drool marks all over his Bible where he'd be reading his Bible and praying and he'd fight sleep and he'd drool all over the... And I know, you know, well, bless God, I don't ever... That's because you don't ever try at 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, you know, I know that would never work. Well, I'll be honest with you. Jesus told his disciples, can't you pray an hour? Huh? He went away the second time, verse 42, and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Amen. Do you find that being you sometimes? Uh-huh. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same word. By the way, this prayer, they missed out on all this. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now. Why? Because they were. They were asleep. And take your rest. But he told them, come on. Can't you pray an hour? Can't you pray? Can't you take some time and pray? Again, I'm not trying to get you to pray a certain amount of time every day. I'm just trying to get you to pray. Amen. You said, but I need my rest. Yeah, but you need strength. Well, that's where I need my rest, to give me strength. No, you need strength from God. And that strength from God comes from prayer. Have you ever thought you might sleep better if you pray more? What is it that keeps you from sleeping? Problems. Have you ever thought of just going to God in prayer and talking to Him about those problems and about how good He is, and remembering as you pray all the times He's bailed you out of problems before? Huh? See, that's why prayer is more important than rest and sleep. Yes, God made our bodies to get tired. God made it so that we needed to sleep. God made it so we need rest. I mean, we're made that way. But the truth of the matter is, most could do without some of that when you have something to pray for and pray about. Number three, Luke 22. Luke chapter 22 and verse 32. Luke 22:32. Start at verse 31. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And here, number three, we see prayer is more important than working miracles. Could Jesus have stopped this thing miraculously? I mean, he could have. He could have easily. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. You know, Jesus could have crushed Satan right there. But what did he do? He prayed for him. I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Okay, Jesus, why don't you just smack Satan right now and punch him and knock him down? Well, I prayed for you that your faith wouldn't fail. So we see prayer is more important than working miracles. How many times do we just kind of flippantly say, God, get me out of this thing? And we think because we're still in it, he didn't hear us. Well, he's making intercession for us, the Bible says. What do you suppose he's praying? He could get you out of it. Like that. Why am I still in it? He's praying that your faith fail not. He's praying that you be strengthened. He's praying that you trust him. He's praying as he did for Peter here. He says that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Hey, Peter, when you get what you're supposed to get out of this thing, I want you to help your brothers. It's good, isn't it? We don't like it, though, because we'd rather God just work it all out. But here we see prayer is more important than the actual working of a miracle. He prayed for him. What a lesson to really intercede, to plead for someone else. I mean, the truth of the matter is, Peter grew here and gained more through the prayer of Jesus than he ever would have had Jesus simply smacked the devil. Well, if God would just work a miracle, God can work the miracle. Have you ever stopped and thought, maybe he wants you to pray and grow, and maybe he wants you to pray for that person that needs a miracle. Maybe he wants his people to pray for that person who needs a miracle. Maybe he wants to just see how much we will pray and how long we'll pray. Maybe he hadn't heard from us in a while, and he'd like to hear from us. I remember when Joe Dehas got in his car accident, and it was bad. It was just unbelievable. I remember his mom coming to me and saying, there at the hospital, saying the doctors want to bore a hole through his head to relieve the pressure, and she was in tears, and it was just, you know, and so we had little pictures of Joe, and we had pray for a miracle, but the truth of the matter is, all during that time, God could have raised him up instantly. I remember because of his brain swelling and all the problems that he had. You know, he couldn't walk, he couldn't talk, he didn't know colors, he couldn't read. I mean, all of that was, he had to be retrained and reprogrammed. Now, God could have easily made that not happen. In fact, sometimes God does. But instead, he had to go through every phase, but the whole time we're praying, and prayer seemed to be pretty important. You know, God can work a miracle anytime. A miracle. Do you understand? I mean, he can do anything. He called the world into existence and all the worlds, the universe. He can do anything. Let's understand something. We need to pray. There are situations here. So many situations. This week has been a week of just so many things. And to add to so many other things. You know, I mean, it's just, and God could speak and that one be cleared up. And he could speak and that be taken care of. And he could speak and that be, but he doesn't. Well, I know he's speaking, but he's making intercession. And so, why would I stop? Why wouldn't I pray? Why wouldn't you pray? Prayer is more important than working miracles. Prayer is bigger, obviously, than working miracles. And if the miracle has not taken place, pray. And keep praying for that miracle. Number four, Matthew 9, verse 38. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Prayer is more important than money or machinery. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his... Who's going to send them? He will. That he will send forth laborers. Well, if we just had more money, that's not the issue. The issue is what's he going to do? I know a lot of huge ministries that have lots of money and they're doing absolutely nothing. Pray that he will send forth laborers. You know what I've found? I've found that when people pray, they find themselves being the laborers. But it's a matter of prayer. Oh God, give us money. Maybe God wants to give you a job so you can give your money. To be honest with you, during this tough economic time, I've been praying, God, give our people overtime, but give them a heart to give. Well, but preacher, God could, he could dump millions of dollars on this. He could. But the truth of the matter is, I think he, and I know he knows, prayer is more important than all the money. It really is. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send forth laborers. Well, we have a harvest here. We're going to need a lot of money. And that's not what he said to pray. Pray that he'll send laborers. Well, if we could just have some new buses. But he said, pray that he will send laborers. Amen. Well, if we just had better programs. No. Well, listen. Pray. Do you understand? We don't need to pray that there is a harvest. We need to pray that we'll go get the harvest. The harvest is there. The harvest is all around us. It's laborers. It's people. It's people getting involved. And the more you pray, the more you will want to get involved. The millions and millions of dollars that God could give to our ministry. Yes, I'll be honest. I pray for finances. I pray we make our budget. I pray that we don't have to lay anybody off. I pray that we, all these different things. But the truth of the matter is, it's a matter of God. It's your work. We've got to get the harvest in. So Lord, please send forth laborers. And I'll be honest with you, if you're not a laborer and you pray for laborers, it won't be long you'll be a laborer. Prayer is more important than money or machinery, plans, promotions, all of that. And then number five, back to our text, Luke 11, verse 1. Luke 11 and verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. It's also recorded in Matthew 6, verses 5 through 15. Do you know there's no record in the Scripture Jesus ever taught the disciples how to preach? Peter was a pretty good preacher, though. Pentecost, thousands got saved. Paul did a pretty good job preaching. A lot of people responded. But nowhere do we have anything that indicates that Jesus ever taught them how to preach. But he did teach them how to pray. And so I have to say, number five, prayer is more important than preaching. Well, you're the preacher. You should. No. But you know what? You realize that. All you have to do is preach a few times. All you have to do is preach a few times and nothing happened. And you realize prayer is more important than preaching. I've preached a lot of messages. I mean, hundreds of messages. And I've preached some, Brother Caleb, that I thought were the best. I'm talking about alliterated, 3 points alliterated, all the sub-points alliterated, rhyming words within, poems, illustrations that are tear-jerking, illustrations that bring laughter. The best messages. And I've preached those messages and watched nothing happen. And I've preached messages that didn't even make sense to me and watched the altar full. I'm just telling you, folks, prayer makes all the difference in the world. You say, you know what? I'm getting a little tired of your preaching. Would you pray for me then? That's what you should do more than anything else. You know, don't criticize my preaching. Pray for me. That's the most important. Honestly, because prayer is more important than preaching. I think every preacher boy should take a course on preaching. I think they should take a homiletics course and a hermeneutics course. And, you know, hermeneutic, their neighbors down the road, Herman. And anyway, but I think they should all take those courses. I'm not against them. But I one of the things I appreciated, I remember when David went to college and he said, I'm taking a course on prayer. I thought, wow, that's what we really need. You know, we need to learn how to pray. That's the course Jesus taught. The disciples said, teach us to pray. And he taught them how to pray. And not only by example, but he taught them. You know what Dr. Williams is doing when he comes is he's teaching us, you know, in his school of prayer, he's teaching us to pray. And praise the Lord for that. Anybody can give a speech. Unsaved people can give a speech. But the right preaching is the result of the right praying. And that's what we need more than anything else. Pray that our preachers pray. Pray that our teachers pray. Pray that our deacons pray. Pray that we all pray. You see, here's the thing about prayer, and I close with this. There's no showiness in prayer. You know, a guy can get up and behind a pulpit, he can wax eloquent, and boy, he can really just say all the right words and give eloquence like crazy, and boy, he can have a great outline, all those kind of things, and everybody sees that in here. But in prayer, nobody knows. Nobody has any idea. You're alone in your closet, talking to God. I mean, doesn't that, honestly, to me, that sounds like Christianity more than anything else. Because it's by faith, and it's not to make a show, it's just me and God. I'm just talking to God. Well, how do you know you're talking to God? Because by faith, I believe He's there. He is there. No showiness. You're all alone. By the way, that's one of the reasons why a lot of people don't pray. Nobody knows. And see, therein is our problem. It's when the battle is won on your knees. Amen? It is so important that we pray. It's more important than teaching and healing, more important than rest and sleep, more important than working miracles, more important than money or machinery, more important than preaching. It's more important than eating. We're to fast and pray. Amen. It's more, and again, this is not exhaustive, but through the scripture, you can find a lot of things. Prayer is the essential part of our lives. When in John 15, when it talks about abiding in Christ, what's that mean? Remain. That means spend time with Him. It means get close to Him. That means talk to Him. That means to let Him know what's on your heart. Talk to God. And I would encourage you to do that. You need to make prayer your priority in life as a Christian. It is absolutely essential for anything to happen as a Christian in our ministry, in your life. Pray. You say, why? Nothing's happening in my life. Pray that it will. Talk to God. I'm often amazed at griping and complaining, and I just think, I wonder if you would tell God all that. Well, I'm just tired of not feeling good. Tell Him. Amen. I'm amazed that you folks would tell a preacher, for example, I'm tired of not feeling good. Well, what can I do about it? Nothing I can do about it. I can't make, you know, I don't have any solutions on that. But he you might talk to him about that. Well, I'm tired of not having any money. Well, I would love to help you out, but I do have some change in my pocket here that I could help you out with, but I don't know if that's going to meet your need. I'm just saying, talk to him about that. Well, I'm tired of driving junk. Okay. Well, again, I don't know what to do for you. You know, I'm tired of this economy. I'm tired of... Okay. I'm just saying, talk to him about that. You mad at somebody? You say, I'm mad at you, preacher. Great. I mean, that's wonderful. Then tell him. Amen? Somebody sent me a nasty letter this week. Send it to Jesus. Amen? I'm just saying. What? Okay, look. Let's talk to him. He's the one that we need to get a hold of. He's the one we need to talk to. I promise you this. I don't care how mad you are. I don't care how upset. Whatever. You start talking to him like we just talked about, and I guarantee that all is going to go away. You know what you're going to? You're going to find yourself on your knees saying, God, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. Amen? That's where we should be. Praise the Lord. That's where we need to be. And you know what? You say I just don't know how to get in. I mean, you know, you talk about praying for an hour or something like that. Look, get your church directory out. Okay, you know enough gossip alone. If you just see a face of somebody and you start praying for them, you spend a lot of time. Just go through there. And it you'd be amazed how long you could spend just going through the needs of people right here. Every widow's picture you come to, you just have to stop and just say, oh God, bless them, please. You know, and then the holidays come and you think how hard that is. And you Kathy Morin right here, good night. You're going to spend who knows how long. Just you get to her and Al's picture. See what I'm saying? You say, well, I don't know what I'd pray for. Just get your church directory out. Yeah, it's a great start. Get out a listing of government officials. Father, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk to you. Forgive us for neglecting it so many times. And help us to pray. Please, God, help us to pray. And I ask you, Lord, if there's someone here who's not saved, that today'd be the day they'd be saved. I know I've preached mostly to Christians, but there could be someone here who's lost. Please, God, help them to realize their first prayer needs to be, please save me, God. And I pray you bless our invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one's looking around. I wonder if there's someone who'd say, preacher, I am not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I do not know whether I'd go to heaven. Pray for me that I'll get saved. Anyone like that? Pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anyone at all? Let's all stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the instruments play. If you need to come, God's speaking to your heart, you have a decision to make, you come as the instruments play. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Many are coming. If you need to come, talk to the Lord. Maybe you do often. Maybe you don't. Let's decide. We're going to pray.
We're going to be people that talk to God. We're going to go and hear Dr. Williams as he teaches about prayer. I think we can see how important it is. Seems to be the most important thing. Any others need to come? The invitation's still open. If you have a decision to make. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Still time. Amen. All right. Do not forget, 4th through 6th grade practice, choir practice will be canceled tonight, but ensemble 4:30, everything else at 5, that normally is at 5, and then the service tonight at 6. Brother Justin Raymond is going to be preaching tonight. He's going to preach what he preached in chapel about prayer, and it'll help you. It'll be a blessing to you, so you make sure you are here for that. And, of course, pray for all the folks. Our prayer list is the longest I've ever seen it. Honestly, the church prayer list, Wednesday night, that right there will take you a long time. You go through that prayer list. A lot of things to pray about, a lot of unspoken requests, a lot of things that are happening in people's lives. You say, well, so-and-so's grouchy today. You know, they probably have a real reason why. Instead of being mad at them, how about praying for them? And trying to encourage him. Amen? Not a bad idea. Brother Don, close in prayer, please.
Father, we thank you for the emphasis in your word on prayer and your desire to hear from us as we need to hear from you. Lord, may we go from this room this morning seeking you in prayer, obeying the command to pray without ceasing. Lord, may we make that a part of our life on a daily basis, spending time with you, communicating with you, reading your word, allowing you to speak to us. Lord, as we meet people and talk to them and greet with them, may we pray for them, and may your Holy Spirit burden our hearts for their need of salvation in prayer. Guide us and direct us, Lord, and may we walk with you and communicate with you continually as we go from this place. Bring us safely again together tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.